another episode of Small Town Expectations. It's Brandy Rose here with my beautiful partner, Hales Bassing.
Hey, hey.
We're excited to bring you another small town story with another small town expectation on this funny little podcast. But first, we want to remind you to go and like and follow whatever platform you're listening on, whether it's on Apple iTunes or an Android podcast device or some random. We recently started posting on Spotify, which is really, really cool. Yep. So if Spotify is your jam, it is there. And we're stoked to be able to bring that to the universe.
Let us know where you listen from.
Absolutely. So go and like and review on whatever platform you're listening. And don't forget to follow us on the social medias. We are going to be much more active on Instagram. We are putting that out into the universe. Haley's giving me funny eyes right now because she's like, oh, are we, Brandy? I know that's what she's thinking. But we are. We were able to make a short little story. We're going to use stories a lot. I am making the commitment right now to post more often on Instagram. I am.
It's a big promise. Our listeners right now.
You can give me those scary little eyeballs, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Good.
So make sure that you're following us on Instagram and on Facebook, where we post a ton about every episode. If you are somebody who would rather listen online, you can listen at radbrandy.com. There is a full list of all of the episodes right there on our website, and you can see all of the photos that go with each person's episode.
Yep.
Which people give us a ton of photos to post with their episode. That's kind of always a really neat thing, is whenever my phone or your phone's blowing up with somebody's pictures from when they were in their 20s or in their teens, and we get to see them be young and crazy.
It's cool.
It is. It's really, really fun. That's a fun part for us. And you can see those photos too at radbrandy.com. And if you would like to be on this podcast, you would like to share your story, please email us at smalltownpodcast@yahoo.com. Let us know that you're interested and we will make it happen. Whether it's with a phone call or it's us inviting you into our home, we will make sure that you have the opportunity to share your experiences and your stories with the world.
Come experience our small town studio.
Ooh, that was good. Wow. Okay. And each week we like to highlight a particular community, and it's sometimes based on the person that the episode is going to be about. And today the community that we would like to highlight is the community of support. There are things that happen in people's lives that in a small town, one of the very beneficial sort of aspects of living in a small town is that there is a community of people who will come to scoop up that family or scoop up that person, whatever that experience might be. Today, the experience that we kind of very specifically talk about is my baby sister being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was 9. That rocked our world. It rocked our family, and we really came together super solid as a family. But then Alex really had a huge support in her elementary school, in her Girl Scouts, in just the world. And I know that there is a support community for a lot of people out there, and that's what we want to hear about. Haley, can you think of any kind of community of support that you've ever experienced?
Sure. I mean, just very recently, Brandy just got her gallbladder taken out. Ooh. So that's been an experience for all of us.
Literally like 3 days ago.
we've experienced a lot of change in the last couple weeks. And one of them is that we're working towards fostering a 2-year-old. And the amount of support that has come out of the woodworks from our friends and especially our family has just been overwhelming. And we've taken them up on it. I mean, someone's playing with Peanut right now while we're recording this podcast, you know? Yeah. And specifically whenever you had your gallbladder taken out. I mean, Poppy and Gigi came over, Nona came over, they watched Peanut for us, they bought you groceries. I mean, mm-hmm. It's cool, the amount of support. And that's just, I don't know. And a bunch of people have reached out that we don't necessarily hang out with all the time. when they heard you were going to get your gallbladder out and whatever that looked like. It was cool.
Yeah, man, you're right. And I was sitting here like, what is a community of support that I've experienced? And you're right. Like, and that is super, super recent in our lives. This is a huge change for us. And then to just add the layer of me having surgery is a crazy new, you know, layer that, man, you're right. We really had an incredible community of support come together to scoop us up and love on us, but to also just help out in these crazy, huge kind of ways.
Yeah.
Man, we're so lucky.
We are.
We're really, really just blessed. I don't know if that's the word.
You got to say hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. Man, I really love the people that are in our lives.
Yeah.
We're very, ugh. All right.
So something else special that's happened to us recently is this weekend we went to a women's retreat.
It was a day retreat that is put on by BGN is the organization, and Melissa Porch and her community is really incredible. We are very lucky to have been able to experience the advice that we got from this group of women and the direction that we got from this group of women. And it's business women in our community. And we are really looking forward to the future of this podcast. We have big plans in store, and it's going to, we have so many great ideas that they have to start small. And we're starting somewhere with being much more active on social media.
Yeah.
And I really am making that commitment back to that. But it was a really good day of just being encouraged by these women who are amazing, amazing, amazing businesswomen, especially Melissa. And the vision that she has for Farmington and for the area, and then to hear the vision of the other business owners there was, I mean, I sat back in my chair and just thought, like, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was so rich here. It was beautiful.
See, and I think the best part of that experience is meeting those different women, and they're all in different walks of life. Like, set aside their business, they all have awesome things to offer the world.
Yeah.
You know, just the kind of people they were. They were like, put on these oils and let's go outside and ground ourselves, and just stuff that you don't normally experience, mm-hmm. that I don't normally experience in my day-to-day life.
It was wonderful.
It was cool. Like, good group of humans.
Yeah, I loved it.
We're fortunate.
I loved being there with you too. That was really special for me.
It was cool.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes we look at this podcast and we you know, we have all of these really great grand ideas, but to see it as a business is something that we have struggled a little bit with, but it is.
Yeah.
We are trying to reach a mass of people by sharing these experiences and sharing these stories, because it's a ripple, and these stories change people's hearts. They change perspective. And that's something that Haley and I are not taking for granted. And it's not something that we just, you know, we plan on ever making quiet.
Yeah.
So we want to do really big things with this podcast. And so we're very lucky and very just excited to have experienced that retreat with all of those women. So we've had a crazy couple weeks or so.
Yeah.
And it hurts to laugh. So, but it's been good.
Yeah.
And we have a really beautiful community of support. And so we want to encourage you to think about your community of support. What does that look like? Let us know on Instagram or on Facebook. Share your community of support with the world. And just really, and it sounds silly, but brag on them.
Yeah.
Brag on them and tell everyone how amazing they are. Because they deserve that recognition.
Especially if they're women.
I guess. If
who said it? Women. Beyonce?
Maybe.
Who run the world?
Stop making me laugh, it hurts. You're a dork. Okay, into today's guest. It is my baby sister. We're really excited to share her experience. She's had a beautiful 22 years on this earth, and she has wonderful experiences that she is excited to share with everyone. She is somebody who has been really consistent while releasing episodes to this podcast of replying to every person's story and saying, here's how this person made me think, here's what I'm chewing on from this one. And literally, I can think of a couple of episodes where she was really affected by these people's stories, but I can't think of one episode that she wasn't affected by people's stories. Even Brenda, she said to Haley earlier, she said, your friend Brenda made Raton sound like a paradise. And we laughed and we're like, yeah, she actually did. She did a really good job at that.
Yep.
Because it's true.
That's her small town.
Alex listens to every episode, and I think she was really excited to be able to share her experience and her story with you today. So take a listen. This is my baby sister, Alexandra Frazier. Welcome to an episode of Small Town Expectations. I'm stoked for today's guest. It is my sweet, sweet baby sister, Alexandra. Say what's up, girl.
It's me. Hi.
Oh, yes, well, hello.
Oh, yes, hello.
So there's going to be probably a lot of little side rabbit trails like that, because Alex and I are really close, and I feel like this is something that I just want to say to the world. It's something that I've worked really hard on, and I'm probably going to cry saying this right now. Literally, what are we in, like, 5 seconds into this? But, like, I've tried really hard to always be really close to you and to always be somebody that you look up to and that inspires you and that you admire, all of those things. And I fail sometimes. There's some
human condition.
Yeah, there's some moments that I'm just really not proud of. But I think that we have been able to stay close no matter what is going on in our lives. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
that's not me just being full of myself.
No, it's good. It's good. It's nice to have someone that is there out of the other 9 siblings that I have. I have a few that are awesome, you know, no disrespect to anyone else, but it's nice to have a big family, and also nice to have those siblings that do stand up for you, because people think that with having a huge family, everyone's so close-knit, but we aren't really the Brady Bunch. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, it's true. I mean, you have a really close relationship with a few of us, and the other ones are there, and the other ones would, I feel like, you know, split some skulls if they needed to.
Oh, yeah. You know,
like, they would go to bat for you, but they're just not as available.
Yeah.
And they've never really made themselves that available.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, being present. But let it be known that those brothers and sisters would go to bat for you any day of the week, and they love you so, so much.
Yeah, I agree.
So this is my baby sister. How old are you, Alex?
I just turned 22 in June. My birthday is June 6th. Hi, I'm a Gemini.
And we are, we have a lot of similarities, but we have a lot of differences too, right?
Yeah. People are gonna be like, who's talking?
I know. Dude, yeah, that's one thing that since we started talking about you coming on the podcast, one of the things we keep saying is our voices are so similar.
Our voices are so similar. I'm just kidding.
Also, Alex is the comedian in the family. She has always had a really, really good sense of humor. And I blame that on you having older siblings.
Yeah, I grew up probably very influenced.
in with, like, good influences, or would you say
a mix? It's
some
good
sketch.
Though. It's all good. It's all good because I'm here still.
Yes. So. Okay, so funny story. Alexandra's 9 years old, okay? 9 years old, and I have no idea what I'm doing. That makes me, like, what, 20, I think? Maybe 21, something like that, if you were 9?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny.
Oh, yeah. You said my not-so-proud moments, and I immediately thought of when she took me to Tenacious D.
Yes.
In, like, I don't know, what was I, 3rd, 4th grade?
Dude, you were, like, 9. I remember you being, like, 8 or 9 years old, and me just being so, like, I'm the worst person in the whole world.
We're like,
world.
It's Jack Black. It's great. It's fine.
Exactly. Because it was, like, that was, like, fresh off of, like, Nacho Libre, just, like, right around, like, the, you know, that time period. Mm-hmm. And so you know, I had no idea what I was taking you to Tenacious D, and I was just humiliated and just feeling like the worst person in the world. So yeah, so those are some of Alex's influences. That's probably why she has such a great sense of humor, and she fits into most circles, is because she can be really, really funny in a crass kind of way, and she can be really, really funny in an intelligent, in a more sort of sly kind of way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, we've always been really close, and those are, you know, some of my not proud moments. But let's talk about you growing up.
Okay.
You have five brothers, four sisters.
Yep.
And out of those, really, you grew up with me, Kitty, Jeremy, Sean.
Right.
And in our house, like it was us. Like, we're the core. Everybody else is lots older. They didn't live with us. We were the core. I was the oldest. You were the baby. And you and I did everything together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was either you or Kitty were kind of taking my hand.
Yeah.
By storm, really.
Always. Always with us. And you just kind of, I feel like you had a pretty good childhood.
It was great. You know, there were definitely the few mishaps with seeing my older siblings or my brothers go into some battles within themselves. And so I think that's really what has affected me from my decision making on, do I really want to get in trouble? No, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I was pretty lucky to be the youngest and to learn from really everyone's interesting mistakes.
Listen to how sweet you're being.
I know. I try.
And you had a much different school age experience than we did. Mom and Pa, they sent you to Sacred Heart, which was a Catholic elementary school.
Right.
Private Catholic school.
I was lucky to be the oops and to come along after, you know, they could save up a little bit. So I did get to go to Sacred Heart, and I'm really privileged to be able to be an alumni of that school. Mm-hmm. I love it. I still do. Even though we are not a Catholic family, I learned a lot of really awesome moral values, and I feel like that's still true to me today. Mm-hmm. I feel like it really definitely helped me learn to be a good person. Whenever we're talking about being on the podcast, I thought about some cool memories I have from Sacred Heart. And I remember Mrs. Sutherland, she was the art teacher there. Mm-hmm. And I, since I can remember, have always been so, so, so hard on myself with art. Just because everyone is their own biggest critic, but I definitely feel that with a passion. And I remember just like ripping up my art pieces when I was young. And Mom would just be like so mad at me, but she would also get very mad at me too in a very loving, supportive manner. And she used to make me like paint over something, or she would really teach me the value of like being able to take something that you don't necessarily like and just wait until the end to fix whatever mistake you have. And
you were little.
Yeah, I was just a tiny little baby.
Like, she was probably your teacher in like what, second and third grade, something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're learning that lesson really, really young.
Yeah, which is good because I needed it. And also we would like picket around Sacred Heart and SHS. Is the best. I remember that. Like, we were picketing as an elementary school.
I think that's more school spirit than picketing.
You know, different context for sure.
I guess. And I feel like that's coming from your social justice background now.
Yeah.
You're calling that picketing.
I'm going to do
that. It's not technically picketing.
I'm going to do that about the Amazon.
Yeah. Seriously, though. People, stop burning down the Amazon.
Stop. Just stop.
Oh, that's a totally different topic.
Okay, anyway.
So in second and third grade, you're learning the value of your art, which, P.S. people, she's an incredible artist, and she always has been really, really talented, but she always has been too, like, just ridiculously hard on herself.
Yeah.
It's silly.
People laugh because they're like, oh, you're so good. How are you that good? You were gifted. I'm like, no, I just hate myself sometimes. Not hate myself, but I just, you know, it does come with the critique of inner self and just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it.
Yeah.
So.
But you made a lot of good friends at Sacred Heart, because part of being at Sacred Heart means that you went to kindergarten all the way through fifth grade.
Yeah, right? I did. And then
with the same group of kids.
Yeah, same. And there was like 18 to 20 people in my class from kindergarten to fifth grade, which is really cool because I'm still good friends with quite a few of those people. And I feel like if I were to reach out in different states, I could still do that to the state, to those same people. So that is the awesome thing about Sacred Heart, is how small it was.
Yeah. And one of the cool things, they don't have normal, like, extra classes. So I got to come in and teach your PE class 1 year. Mm-hmm. And then I think...
And then Kitty did, too.
Kitty did, too, mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was really fun and just kind of special that we got to come in and do that with you.
Yeah.
And so I remember a lot of your friends from elementary school. And now I see them as adults and I'm like, holy crap, like, who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
You've grown into this beautiful adult. Yeah. Like, what happened? It's just so neat to remember you guys as those littles and to be able to see you now grown up and beautiful and doing really amazing things in the world. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, do you have any funny stories with you and your friends from elementary school?
I definitely remember, just how family oriented it was, you know, doing like trunk or treat with all of my friends. The Harvest Fest was a really big deal. Being able to go and do Harvest Fest. I think it's so awesome that they're continuing on that tradition, and it's a really big way that they can make money, you know, being that it is a private school, it is smaller community, which I think that's the biggest thing about Sacred Heart, is that it is a community, and, you know, they can, you know, have those tight-knit circles that help each other out even whenever it's, I don't know, when... life's hard.
Dude, which makes me think of when you were 9 years old.
Oh, yeah, when I got diagnosed with diabetes.
Yeah.
My principal, Miss Liebrook, I believe, she even wanted to learn how to, like, do shots if I ever needed help, or she wanted to be there and she wanted to be educated on diabetes. And my teacher at the time was Mrs. Beavers and Kim. I'm friends with her on Facebook now, so it's really...
So it's okay for you to call her Kim?
I always feel awkward about the first names now, still. But yeah, Kim, she was... I feel like that kind of took her by storm. But she gave me a lot of love and support. So that was really awesome because, you know, being diagnosed with diabetes at a young age, even though you do still... I'm type 1, by the way. Some people are familiar with type 2 because it's so prevalent around Farmington, but I'm type 1, so that means that I can't reverse it. It is from my genetics.
Basically, your pancreas.
My pancreas sucks.
Yeah.
It's done. It tapped out a few years ago. but yeah, so they were all very, very, very helpful and welcoming with that transition, and I am going on 13 years of having diabetes in November.
Mm-hmm. And your school, I feel like, I remember just in our family when that happened, we as a family just came together. And, I remember those days so vividly. Like, it's still really scary.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, Alex just seemingly was... maybe the flu, kind of flu symptoms.
Yeah, I got sick.
And you just got really sick and you turned ghost white. And
I was going into...
diabetic shock.
Diabetic shock. Yeah, you know, I had my blood sugar over 400, which for a normal person, that's like insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about things that happened like years and years ago. And
you were white as a ghost.
Yeah.
Your face had sunk in. You
was peeing every 5 seconds.
It was terrifying to, I mean, like, I still can see you in your little tiny body. Ugh, it's so scary.
Yeah.
And as a family, we came together to understand what was happening and to support you and to make it as normal as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the thing that our family did, was we never made diabetes be like a thing. It was just something, you know? It wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal because we needed you to be healthy and we needed to take care of you, but it was never embarrassing and it was never something we tried to hide,
mm-hmm.
Or tried to keep from from anybody else ever knowing, which is kind of unusual for families.
Yeah, our family is pretty transparent.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. It's maybe sometimes a little too loud for some people.
Yeah.
But it's our family, so whatever.
It is.
And I am proud of that. And especially our mother. She is so awesome for being so loud about it. Mm-hmm. She taught me to be like, hey, everybody, I'm Alex and I have diabetes, because you have to own it.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. If you do want to be safe, and you know, what if something happens? You never know. That person can be like, I don't know, maybe they're just tired or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever that could come about. But
yeah. And you did such a good job at just being confident in it. And again, I think that came from influence from all of us. Mm-hmm. But you were very confident in it, and you still to this day, I feel like, really own it.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a pretty freaking great job at taking care of yourself. Your body fails sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's just what happens.
Out of the 13 years of being diagnosed, I have only been hospitalized once.
Yeah. It was when you were like 15 or so, I think.
Yeah, right? I got the flu, and then I got really dehydrated, and my blood sugars were just crazy, but
yeah,
it wasn't too.
It was whenever you serious. Like, you were like in high school though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was still, but again, like, you are a rock star, and it's something that I've just always really admired you, because of how strong you are.
And I think a lot of that is having other people who are diabetic to kind of be like, hey, it does suck. You know, mm-hmm. it is nice to have the reassurance that, you know, you are going through something, and to recognize it and then to be like, okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friend, she's from Tularosa. I wish she was on the podcast. That'd be so cool. She has awesome stories. Yeah. She's diabetic. I met her when I was 9. I had just gotten diagnosed. And then I went a few months later to a diabetic camp in Albuquerque. So shout out to any family members who have diabetes. Go to the... If you have kids, take your kids to that camp. It's
incredible.
It's in the Manzano Mountains. It's through the American Diabetes Association, right? And yeah, you get to go and hang out with other diabetics for a full week, and they do activities in the mountains and low ropes course, high ropes course, and just teach you how to be bold with your diabetes and be okay with it, really.
And that's kind of where some of your confidence came from, too, was just kind of being thrown into a group of other kids who were just like you.
Yeah.
Who were struggling with the same stuff you were struggling with. And I think that was key in who you are.
Yeah. So. I definitely am a person that needs affirmations. And so sometimes I just need someone to be like, hey, it does suck.
Yeah.
But also, you got this.
Yeah. At the same time. In the same breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just think that's really cool. So you went from having this really tight-knit community of Sacred Heart
mm-hmm.
and all of your friends there supporting you and loving you, having a family who supported and loved you through it and
mm-hmm.
and really just did our best to figure it out.
Right.
To knowing other kids who are just like you. And Lourdes, right, is your friend from Tularosa.
Mm-hmm.
Lourdes is still your friend.
Yeah.
And she's somebody who you still get to say, hey, like, this has been rough. You know, help. And she goes, yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys scoop each other up.
Yeah. It's, and I think that's what young individuals with diabetes need. I met a young girl. I was in FHS band with her older brother, and her name is Naya, and she's a amazing little girl. She got diagnosed around the same time I did. And so being able to scoop her
same
up.
Same age.
Yeah, right. Same age. So she's still like, I think she's 10 now, but she's still young.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think being able to scoop those little kiddos up and just lift them up when they feel super insecure.
And she loved hanging out with you.
I know. We watched Wreck-It Ralph recently. Well, I guess that was, a few months ago.
Yeah.
And we both cried so much. I think mostly for the movie, but also partially for the moment that we got to, like, actually hang out again because it had been a while. It was a cool moment.
Yeah, she really looks up to you.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And when you leave this podcast, you're going to go call her.
Yeah, I text her. I have her number.
Yeah, so I think it's just, it's neat to notice those communities around that particular point in your life. It was mm-hmm. pretty cool. And so next you go to junior high at Hermosa
right.
and high school FHS, same friend group, right?
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
I think what was cool about being in Farmington is there's so many artistic outlets for young individuals and as well as athletic outlets. I know you guys have heard plenty of stories from theater majors or theater nerds. Unfortunately, I wasn't one of them, but I was definitely into like painting. I did orchestra. I did band for a very, very, very long time. What else? I was in a lot of AP classes, which was, they always kind of push you to do something artistic alongside with whatever you're doing. Like, your creative arts is a big heavy hand with AP classes, which is really awesome. That's why I love it. I feel like that I have a lot of friends who also enjoyed the creative outlet. I have plenty of friends who have taken on like photography, or my best friend Catherine Walker. She's teaching creative writing at UNM this year. Super excited for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were definitely just uplifted by Susan Boyles, who was the English teacher through Hermosa. And, but yeah, I mean, I think that being in so many outlets in junior high and high school was really great just for this community, because it's so easy to get lost in the sauce or get lost in just like other stupid activities that young adult, you know, teenagers do mm-hmm. when they're bored in Farmington.
Right.
And I would say that is a big aspect on why I didn't end up doing stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm. I would say so too.
I was so busy.
You were busy doing everything else. Like, mom kept you so involved in Girl Scouts. You were mm-hmm. a softball player.
Yeah, I played softball.
Yeah.
I played
band,
volleyball.
You basketball. Were hooked up, dude. Like, you didn't have time to get into shenanigans.
Yeah.
You did get into some shenanigans.
Yeah, okay, my senior year. Yeah, because boys suck.
But it's all just part of it, I feel like. Like, we're all susceptible to something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you are.
He's a heartbreaker. Okay, I don't know the rest of that.
But, you know, for the most part, like, you even, not even, it's not even fair to say for the most part, Alex, like, you were a good kid. You were a really good kid. And I think that you had a special experience when you left and went to New Mexico State. Do you want to talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, so I think growing up with all of the close-knit community, it's really easy when you're in a small town because you hear so much about what everyone's doing. And nowadays it's a lot easier, especially with social media, whether that be Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, to see what is going on in the lives of like your friends, which is such a beautiful way to connect with people and stay informed, and I think it's awesome. Also, it could be really destructive if you're insecure, and a lot of insecurities came about. I had like my first boyfriend and we broke up, and I was so insecure and I didn't really love myself as much as I should have and as much as I do now. I love myself a lot more, but then I was really struggling with that. And so I think when you're going from a really small town, so I went from obviously FHS to New Mexico State University, which is in Las Cruces. It's really easy to get lost in the numbers out there because it's just huge. It's mm-hmm. way bigger. I was definitely still a little small fish in a small pond, just not knowing how to adapt to that kind of environment. And mm-hmm. it's so important to get involved in activities and allow yourself to be awkward and make those friends through those awkward experiences. And I think I definitely just shut it out because I, again, was just so insecure. And I was scared and I was sad and I had high expectations. And then I was like, no, I'm going to change my major 50 billion times. And that I've always been the person that had like a 5-year plan. I was either going to be an archaeologist.
Oh my gosh.
And then a tattoo artist. And then a nurse. And then when that didn't work out, who will I become?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And that was hard for you.
Yeah.
Because I would say it even started the change in your, the disruption to your 5-year plan.
Yeah.
I would say even started when you were in high school.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about how as a family, we've never let you being diabetic hold you back.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there are parts of the world that don't necessarily agree with us.
No.
AKA the military.
AKA the military. Guys, I wanted to be a pilot for the Air Force. That didn't work out.
And you were so set on that.
I was.
And I feel like that was sort of that was the start to the destruction of the destruction of your hopes and your dreams.
Yeah.
And that's where some insecurities came from too.
Yeah.
I think it started with the military saying, there was an idea, right? Mm-hmm. That you would be able to do something in particular,
uh-huh.
even though you were a diabetic. And then you learned that somebody was like, no, like nobody is going to ever see past that. Like that will never be accepted.
Right.
And that was like a giant.
I was in such a vulnerable place. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, cool. So flight nursing was the next step to be on a helicopter, which was such a cool experience being able to mentor one of the nurses at
San Juan Regional.
Yeah, San Juan Regional. John Melser, if you guys know him, shout out. He was an awesome mentor.
Yeah. And that was really good for you for a minute, right? I mean, it helped kind of scoop you up. But then again, like the destruction of just kind of you, your 5-year plan.
Yeah.
You have an idea in your head of what you're going to do. And when those things don't work out, it is incredibly just deflating.
Yeah. And I think it's just like I have learned to be comfortable with whatever life throws at me. Mm-hmm. You have to, especially when you're diabetic, because things happen, but life happens, really.
Yeah.
And you have to be comfortable for all of those, whatever it brings you, just another bump in the road, or how do you adjust? You're going to be a rock and stay in your old ways, or you can be water and go with the flow.
And so you went down to New Mexico State, and you learned a little about yourself. And it was just kind of like you needed to come home.
Yeah,
and just have a good support system again.
Right.
Because of those insecurities and that relationship that didn't work out, you came home and I feel like you thrived.
Yeah.
When you came home.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, again, you just keep setting your mind on those 5-year plans.
And then I was like, okay, Fort Lewis, 5-year plan, let's go now.
And they were like, nope. And then you're like, no.
Yeah. So I stayed in Farmington for a year. I was going to switch from San Juan to Fort Lewis, and I had moved and I had already got accepted. And then I was just waiting on to see what scholarships could take effect and when I could start planning for my courses. And whenever I started planning for my courses, and they're like, so that'll be a gajillion dollars. When can you pay? Mm-hmm. And I don't have that money. And I don't have, you know, in-state, which really sucked. So if anyone is listening, get those freaking scholarships and put in the effort to get in those scholarships. It takes effort. You can't just be given something. And being the youngest, the baby out of 9 other siblings, I maybe expect things to happen easily for me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen that way.
But you've learned some really good lessons from it.
Yeah, so I kind of got stood in my tracks. It's been a year. I've been in Durango. I had to adapt, so I was doing online courses through San Juan College, and then last year I commuted to San Juan College, or last semester I commuted, and then what did I do? Yeah, I became a farmer and learned a different trade, and in between all of that, now I am on my way to my last semester at San Juan College. God bless America.
Then it's almost over.
Yeah, I know. And that's one of those things that I have to keep reminding myself. Don't compare yourself because, you know, everyone's on their own track and it happens for a reason.
Yes.
And I've learned a lot of things along the way.
And that's something that you and I have a conversation about every, you know, 6 to 9 months or so, is you can't compare yourself to your friends. They're doing wonderful, beautiful things in the world, but you are doing equally wonderful, beautiful things. It just looks different.
Yeah, totally.
And one of those things is you becoming a farmer and you learning so much about the crops that you're working on and working with and how they benefit people.
Right. I respect the heck out of the Durango community because everyone is so pro, like, eat local, support your local farmers, which I have always been an advocate for support your local artists because myself being an artist, it's always been really hard to sell my own art. And I feel like it can easily get taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And I have easily been taken advantage of through that. And so I just want to always give to those people that I know that have worked day and night on their art or their craft, that being also whether that be veggies or fruits or, you know, salves. I make salves with cannabis, so.
Yeah, and your salves have really helped a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I can think of people in our family that the salves have really helped with their arthritis and
Our pops.
Back pain, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helped you. You earlier, you were showing me where you're new, where you're like, I'm going to start putting my port here, and it's on your back, kind of like on your love handle.
Yeah. It's my love handle.
It's your love handle. And you were like, you're like, I just have so many other like poke spots that, I just can't put it in my legs anymore, put it in my stomach anymore.
Yeah. I need to start putting that salve on there. It would definitely help. Yeah. That.
Well, because I know that you
I was.
I and you just that. Haven't done it recently.
No, not in a while. I kind of forgot. So,
because your salve, whenever you put it over your, like, the scar tissue in your stomach or in your legs, it breaks up that scar tissue.
Yeah, it kind of regenerates that cell.
Yeah. And then you're able to use that spot again as a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about you getting high, because that's not what's happening. It's literally just rebuilding the cells in your skin.
Right. So, for people who don't know that, who haven't been on my Instagrams, who don't know that history of me over the past, so I started working on a hemp farm last year. I worked there for about 6 months. I learned a lot about what the hemp industry is doing and what it's not doing. And I learned about, you know, just growing plants. And I think people are scared about hemp because there's this horrible idea about what marijuana does to people, and I get it. I mean, like, there is, you know, a time and place for everything, but what hemp is also awesome for is the CBD aspects, and there's so many different cannabinoids that can help people with sleep, help people with anxiety, and that's, like, the biggest thing is I also feel like learning in school that, you know, anxiety is so huge and prevalent even nowadays in society that people want some sort of relief and no one wants to take pills anymore,
mm-hmm.
which is why I want to go into art therapy. It's just that holistic care that I really have a passion for. Don't want to be doped up on medication.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, to get into art therapy stuff, this is, we kind of laugh and joke about your 5-year plan, but this has really been something that's on your heart, I would say, for the last 5 years. I think that art therapy has been the thing that hasn't wavered.
Yeah.
It's been the thing that you have been most consistent in. You're an incredible farmer. You always have had this really crazy green thumb, and that's a gift.
My succulent gardens.
I mean, seriously, like, this girl, when she lived with our parents, like, back in high school, there's, like, this living room of just all of these plants.
I know, my dad had it's, like, his green room, and it's just been a bunch of random plants that he has, and then I took it over with my succulents.
And they're everywhere.
Yeah, are.
And people actually started taking some of your little, what are they called whenever you take the leaves off and you make little babies out of them?
Oh, yeah. It's like propagating.
Yeah.
Propagating. So, right? Or they're pups. They're just the tiny little ones that grow.
Yes. And you were amazing at that. And people were like, give me some of your plants, yeah. Alex. And it was a big deal. And, like, really, you're gifted at growing things.
Mm-hmm.
You're gifted with that. And then you're an artist, and you're an incredible artist. No matter what you say or think tomorrow, you're always going to be an incredible artist. And then also, you are a really loving, caring human being. And I would say that those three things haven't wavered one single bit.
Yeah.
When the helicopter pilot didn't work out, when the nursing thing didn't work out, like, all of the, even though, like, this journey has been the journey that you've been on for what might to you feel like mm-hmm. a very long time, number one, hasn't really been that long.
Guys, I'm 22.
Seriously.
So little.
But she has this idea that it's supposed to happen tomorrow. You know that's true.
Oh, it's so true. I just want to snap my fingers.
I know.
Make it happen.
But you're getting so much better at it.
I am.
And
patience, young grasshopper.
And ultimately, what I'm trying to say is that you really are gifted at these things. And so back to the art therapy, like, that's been something that's been on your mind consistently mm-hmm. for a long time. And so talk a little bit about what that might look like for you.
So I have always really thought that doing an occupation with art was unrealistic. And that was mostly because I wanted to be a tattoo artist. And I was like, this is the only job that I could do. And I couldn't imagine selling my art because that was so, so hard for me. But so, yeah, I guess I just thought that I couldn't do it. And that's why I was trying to find these logistical routes with nursing or et cetera. And then I found out, well, after my sister started working for the sexual assault services of Northern New Mexico, a lot of people are victimized in this area and a lot of young kids. And I have a passion to help these young kiddos because I too was once very sad when I was little or insecure when I was diagnosed. And I feel like if I would have had some sort of direction with my art and being able to feel better and finding that outlet to feel better. And I was always doing it. I just didn't realize I was doing it. And that's just making art and feeling better after you make art. Mm-hmm. And so what you can do through art therapy is it would be, I think, clinical psychology. And you can help these kids cope through whatever they're going through.
Trauma,
ADHD, depression, anxiety, you know, even bipolar disorder when people are in their manics or whatever that looks like. You know, you could really help people cope. And I think that's really awesome, being able to help these young kids who are hurting that don't need medications. Mm-hmm. I don't think kids need a ton of medications when their brain chemistry is still developing.
Yeah.
You know, and if someone disagrees with me, that's okay. I know there is going to be one person that disagrees with me, but I think different strokes for different folks. And you know, if these kids don't want to be on medication, I don't think they need to be.
Right.
Or if their parents are scared on, they don't know what to do. Let's just give them a pill to make them feel better. Because I know that's, I'm not a parent, but I know that seeing my sisters or brothers who are parents, they'd never want their kids to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want my child to hurt.
Yeah. And so if there's an outlet.
Yeah, if there's an outlet.
And it can be constructive.
Yeah.
And just good. With a good-hearted person that's leading somebody through that is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you have that gift. You got some more schooling to do.
Oh, so much more schooling, guys.
But
barely just getting my associates. I'm okay with that.
And listen.
I'm so okay with that.
Something that you and I have talked recently about is you loving the journey that you're on.
Yeah.
And that's what has really become important to you. So I would love for you to talk about loving that journey and coming from the place that we were talking about just a minute ago. About your 5-year plan just changing and changing and changing and you mm-hmm. freaking out and freaking out and freaking out and being and sad about it and like not knowing what to do and like, you know, just going yeah. crazy to being in this place where you're like, I know now that I have to love my journey. Yeah. And so this is where I'm at now.
I think it's finding peace within that too, is being able to be comfortable with the weird ups and downs and different decisions that you have to make. Especially within the last year. So I moved to Durango. I was still going to school and really, really, really solidified what I want to do. Mostly because I've been doing outside work and holy hell, it's hard. And I'm working with a wide variety of people from different places, Hawaii, Philadelphia, you know, Texas, California, all over the place to people local to Durango and also wide age groups from the youngest being like 21 to the oldest, I don't know, late 50s,
mm-hmm.
early 60s.
Yeah.
And they're busting their booty just as hard as I am out there. And I realized like, okay, cool. This is awesome. But this isn't something that's sustainable for myself being diabetic. And, you know, I just think that I don't want to be in my 60s and still working outside, busting butt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know that about yourself.
Yeah,
and
that's okay. Do know that.
So
learn how to drive a tractor.
and you're still, you're still doing all of the things that you are passionate about,
mm-hmm.
which is yeah. really, really good.
It's kind of helped develop that, like, okay, education is definitely the most important thing to me right now. And I think that should always be. Education is really important just to kind of know your stuff and know that what you are putting your efforts into, you can really reap the benefits. And I know I will be because I won't having to be stressing my labor outside. Mm-hmm. And so I am working on, I just finished my season this year yesterday, worked on a farm. And again, it's just another reason why I want to stay in school. And also loving art and being able to, in those stressful times, being like, okay, I really just need to, like, color or paint. And mm-hmm. I got one of those adult coloring books. And it's so funny because at NMSU, I thought it was such a silly... I took a communications class and I had to work on speeches. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a speech on why adult coloring books really help people. There's a lot of studies.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of studies on cancer patients who use those coloring books to help relieve some of the tension or anxiety that they're going through.
That's
and it kind
really
of helps
neat.
It does help them cope. And so I picked up an adult coloring book. It was actually Cody's idea. He's like, you just need to color. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so right. And so yeah, I picked up my adult coloring book and I've been coloring a lot, and I've just been, I think, handling the transition from finishing up my season at Clutch Hemp Farm and going on to school, because there's a lot of anxiety with just flipping the page and changing the chapter mm-hmm. of your story. You know, it is a little bit different. I know that I won't be surrounded as much by nature from Durango, which is so beautiful. I took a morning bike ride, and it's just really relieving to be able to go out and explore your surrounding area and do mm-hmm. that. But also, I won't get that as much, so it's good to kind of rely on that.
And you will. You just have to put more effort into it.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, Farmington is still a very, very beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just you talking about art being so therapeutic for you. Haley and I have recently started taking care of a little girl, and you watched her for us yesterday. and we're like, you know, I'm texting you, how's it going? And you sent back a picture, and y'all are making art.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
You took some old bingo daubers that were stuffed in a cabinet, and you literally are making art with this little girl.
It was so fun.
It was amazing. And it was brilliant because, number one, you had something to do with her. Mm-hmm. You were entertaining her. And you were teaching her, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
It was really, really... I was so proud in that moment. I really, really love this little girl. And so to see her having fun like that and then to know that it was because of you mm-hmm. was like, ugh, it was just... It filled my heart with so much.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And so
you better keep those photos.
Oh, we will.
Of the happy face and the somewhat flowers. It's great. Guys, she's two. She's two and she did awesome.
She did. She did such a good job. We're going to hang them up in her room.
Oh, good.
So, but you're gifted in so many things. And so I'm excited for just this next little piece of your chapter.
Yeah,
you
me
know?
Too.
And not even a piece of your chapter, because that sounds dumb, but I'm really excited for just this next little thing mm-hmm. in your life, you know, whatever that is. And yeah, you don't get to be in Durango and be 10 feet from a giant tree. the trees are much, you know,
skinnier little.
Yeah.
We have Chick-fil-A at least.
Yeah, there is Chick-fil-A. It's true. You're going to have other really great moments that you get to be excited about mm-hmm. in this next little chunk.
Yeah, I want to shout out Bill Hatch. He is I think he's still the art director. He was whenever I was taking art classes about a year ago. So he is the
painter. At San Juan College.
Yeah, San Juan College. He's the painting professor. He is an amazing human being. I was really scared at first because he's very stoic and doesn't talk very much. And then I remember... like first day, he's like, I'm gonna teach you guys how to paint a rose. And I was like, okay, cool, I got this, it's a rose. And I was using acrylic, and it took me like, so the classes are like 5 hours long because you're painting, takes a long time. So I was painting and he just watched me struggle so hard, and he was patient with me, and he was like, do you want to come under my wing and I can show you the ways of how to be a better painter? And he really just scooped me up. Like, he traded out my acrylic art set for oil painting, and he showed me how to blend, and he showed me how to look at things differently, and it's okay to set a painting down and come back to it if you're getting pissed off.
Yeah.
And he's always just like, you just need to put, you know, it's just time and effort, Alex. You got this. Just...
And aren't you going to sit with him again this semester?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I made sure that I got his class again.
Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah. He is an amazing professor, amazing man, awesome artist.
Yeah.
He's really, really... great to those kids and those young adults. And even I sat next to quite a few women of age. And they definitely lifted me up. And he's always so great. He has such a funny humor with how he teaches painting. And I think he's just, he was really great to me.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Well, just like any other person that comes on here to tell their story, I never want to take anything away from them. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have shared all of the things that you wanted to share?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I just want to say to anyone listening, you know, reach out to your community, even if you feel icky at the moment, it too shall pass. And that's so cheesy. It's such a cheesy saying, but, you know, I love our little community. Mm-hmm. And even in Durango, it was really scary going out to a new, because, you know, coming from Las Cruces, I almost said Las Vegas, that would be terrifying. Coming from Las Cruces, coming back home, it was really nice to get nestled back into my small little community and then going to Durango. But you just really have to put in even just a small amount of effort and just being kind. Just be kind to those people that want to help you.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy to be bitter because you've been burnt by people, especially nowadays. People suck.
Yeah.
But don't suck.
Well, and I will say that, you know, you're one of, you're probably, I love you, and you're one of my favorite humans. And you will always be one of my favorite humans. And I will say that since the start of this podcast, you have been the most consistent text message the day after we release an episode of, wow, that person inspired me this way. And like, literally, I feel like almost every single person that has come on this podcast has had some sort of word for you that you took and chewed on for a minute.
Yeah, it definitely... All, you know, if anyone's listening that's been on the podcast, your guys' words have definitely spoken to me. I love listening to this podcast because I think the stories that we share are so beautiful. You know, every experience might not be similar to yours, but it's something to think about. Mm-hmm. And it definitely puts different views into your mind, and people should be more open nowadays.
And it changes perspective.
It does. It's right? Good to have a different perspective and be able to see different sides of the story. And
yeah,
it's good.
It is. It's neat. So hopefully, Alex, you will continue to be inspired and continue to grow and to just love people the way that you do, because it's authentic and it's beautiful, because you're going to do really amazing things.
Well, thank you.
I know it. I love you, Monkey.
Love you.
Thanks for being here.
Okay.
This has been another episode of Small Town Expectations. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye, guys.